from Allison Camerota, co-anchor of CNN's New Day, comes a debut novel about an idealistic journalist who lands her dream job as a cable news anchor during a crazy presidential race, only to find herself trapped in an ethical minefield. As a veteran broadcast journalist and the co-anchor of CNN's New Day, Allison Camerota knows a lot about the fast-paced world of cable news. In Amanda Wakes Up, she gives us a backstage pass to the behind-the-scenes drama of a cable news network. Voted one of the best reads of 2017 by NPR, the novel is now out in paperback and offers substance, glamour, and rare insight into the who, what, and how of the news we watch over breakfast. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Allison Camerota back to the program. How are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Very nice to have you back on the show. Before we get into the novel, how are things going on the new edition? You have a new co-host. Chris is gone. John Berman is in. How's the new guy doing?
He's doing great. John Berman is like a dream co-anchor. You know, he has my back. He's a great teammate. I always say that, you know, my show is hard, right? We do 3 hours of hard news every morning, and I interview all sorts of lawmakers. And sometimes, before I go on the air, I mean, this is probably telling you too much of how the sausage is made, but I haven't had time to prepare for one of my interviews. So I'll have some congressman coming up, and I'll be like, John, quick, what should I ask Congressman so-and-so? He'll be like, all right, well, let's see. He's on foreign affairs, and I think he has a lot to do with the immigration bill. Ask him about the bipartisan approach to immigration. Like, he always has an answer for me. So I can – it's like in high school where I have a cheat sheet that is John. You know, he'll just let me cheat off his paper anytime, and I love that in a co-host.
Do you find yourself rolling your eyes less that Chris Cuomo isn't around anymore?
I find myself not having to wear a helmet as often to so there's not as much incoming. You know, I always would joke with Chris that he's like set on aggressive. You know, that's just what he's always set to. Like, you don't have to be competitive with me about the toss to commercial. Like, you can have it. And so we would always joke about it. That's just, he's an alpha male, you know, that's who he is. And so I think that energy comes in handy, certainly when holding people's feet to the fire, as Chris now does every night. But yes, it is less of a calorie burner to than it was sometimes when Chris was next to me.
You were on the air this morning. You just turned around to the senator. You asked a great question. You said, are we getting screwed by this trade deal? I thought, well, there's a question. There you go. Are we? There you go. That's the best question you can come up with. Are we getting screwed?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I just have to boil it down to the basics, and I really feel that way. There's so much information coming at people, you know, from all sides right now that sometimes I just have to boil it down for, I think, the viewers, which is, okay, is this good or bad? Are we getting screwed by this deal or not? From where you sit, is Canada a national security threat? Okay, are steel and aluminum from Canada a national security threat? Just tell me, yes or no, you know?
It seems, and I had a similar conversation with your colleague Jake Tapper on this program not too long ago, where we were discussing the state of the world right now and being a journalist in that state of the world, that it seems to be that the job every once in a while is just to do this constant reality check of, is this really going on? Are we having an issue? Are we trying to make friends with North Korea and Russia and we're having a fight with Canada? Is that real? And you seem to be doing that every morning of just like, okay, this is what happened. So this is, let me just get this straight. Is that it? Which is what we need right now, isn't it?
Well, I try to do that. I think that sometimes we can get so bogged down in the details because there's so much coming at us and so many things. I mean, look, there have been all sorts of articles written about how President Trump has broken with convention and broken with the norms. So broken with political norms. And we could do a story like that every day. But sometimes I think we get bogged down in the details. What is the emoluments clause? What does that mean? What year was it set up and why? That we don't sometimes take the 30,000 foot view of like, hold on a second. Is this happening? What is really happening? We're going to alienate our closest allies for decades. We are reordering the international order and landscape as we now know it and saying kinder things about the murderous dictator Kim Jong-un and Vladimir Putin. Like, do I have that straight?
Right.
And sometimes I just have to pose it like that to the, you know, various policymakers and lawmakers that come on.
9:10 o'clock tonight, our time, will be the meeting between President Trump and Kim Jong-un. And then obviously you'll be ready to go in the morning to dissect this and try in some way, shape or form to make sense of whatever happens over the course of those meetings and the subsequent press conferences and so forth. So how do you prepare for something like that when you know an event is happening and you know you got to be on the air tomorrow? Is it somewhat of a relief in that maybe, I mean, this may not be the case, but you assume, well, at least tomorrow I know what we'll be talking about?
Yes, I appreciate you asking that. I mean, this news cycle is so supercharged on steroids that I often now go to sleep at, 8:30 p.m. thinking that I know what is on our show the next day. I know what our lead is. I know what our guests are. I've been able to get my mind around what questions I might want to ask. And when I wake up at 3:15, everything has changed. Our lead has changed. Our guests have changed. The whole show has blown up because there will have been something critical that happened overnight. There'll be people who were fired or a new investigative thread in the Mueller investigation, or North Korea has done something, or, internationally, Vladimir Putin. So it's all the time now, which is different than the other 25 years in this business, I don't know what's on the show the next day. But tomorrow, you're right, we can place a pretty safe bet that it will be about this meeting. But that said, it's hard to prepare for it because we now know that their meeting is going to be a one-on-one with just their translators. So it'll just be President Trump and Kim Jong-un. So it's hard to know how we will get information out of that meeting and whether we will have an accurate depiction of exactly what was said in that meeting. We also have the new information that President Trump will hold a press availability. So he'll be speaking directly to reporters. So all of that is what I will wake up to tomorrow morning. So it will be a very busy new day.
So the name of the novel is Amanda Wakes Up, and you point out in the author's note at the end, the book is not an autobiography, though it is informed and colored by my almost three decades in TV news and the crazy cast of characters I've met along the way. At what point when you started to write this did you want to explore, or you knew what you wanted to explore and the story that you wanted to, a rather delightful story, I would say?
Oh, thank you for that. I appreciate that. I hope it is entertaining. You know, one of the people who read it described it to me as a stealth missile because you think that it's an entertaining romp, through the behind the scenes backstage pass of cable news. But really, I was trying to talk about deeper issues and kind of, disguise it as a sort of glamorous, fun story. And the deeper issues that I felt very compelled to write about were my frustration and all the troubling things that I was seeing when I started writing this back in 2012 about what was happening with journalism and cable news. And what I was starting to feel was that there was a real blurring of the lines. I started to think that there were a lot of TV shows that were masquerading as news programs, and there were a lot of TV personalities that were masquerading as journalists. But there are real distinctions between those two. And as journalists, as you know, we have to follow rock-solid rules. And you don't have to do that as a TV show or a TV personality. And so I was already starting to see the viewers be confused. And I just felt that, through Amanda, somehow I could spell out that there has to be a kind of clear line between these things. Because you can't just go on TV and pretend to be a news show with your hunch or with your opinion or with your, flame-throwing soundbite. We have to be fact-based every day. So Amanda has a lot of ethical dilemmas with a boss who doesn't quite understand that not everything is about ratings. And I can relate to that. And so I was struggling with some of those same ethical problems, and writing the book helped me try to get my mind around all of it.
Not that I'm trying to make the case that everything is fine now, but it does seem that over the last 2.5 years, and especially in the climate that we are now, that journalists such as yourselves, journalists on cable news and journalists everywhere, really have had to step up their game because it became extremely important to do so.
Yeah, I feel that way, too. I feel like I've certainly redoubled my efforts to be militantly, you know, fact-based now, because it just we can't make a mistake. The best way to fight, you know, accusations of fake news is just through good journalism. And so I feel that we're all just sort of nose to the grindstone doing that in a way that I agree with you. You know, a few years ago, I think that we had the luxury of doing more pet segments and cooking segments. You know, I mean, I worked at that time when I started writing it on a morning show that had a lot of that light fare. And God knows, you know, Good Morning America and the Today Show certainly rely on a lot of that. But I now work on a 3-hour hard news show. That's something that people just a few years ago didn't think could happen. You know, the feeling was in the morning, nobody wants hard news. Nobody wants just information. They want to see fall fashions, you know. They want to have latest Kardashian news. But that's not what we give them. And, you know, we've never had higher ratings. And all that tells you is that there is an appetite for hard news, for real information. You know, people said it couldn't be done, 3 hours of hard news in the morning, but we do it now every morning.
Given that you were on Fox and Friends, and now that is like the president's favorite show, do you think to yourself, well, God, what would that be like if I were there now? Or have you fundamentally become, not that you've changed, but the person that you are wouldn't have fit that format now?
I think about it all the time. I mean, because I can't tell you, you know, how many people ask me I think about it because it is a really privileged position to be the president of the United States' favorite morning show, where he gets a lot of his information and even policy ideas. Okay, so you know, I hope that they take that really seriously. But I think about it all the time because even when I was at Fox, and I certainly had many arguments with Roger Ailes about this and did not share his view of how the news should be handled. You know, he had a very specific worldview, and he wanted it reflected across all hours of Fox News. But I didn't think that that was journalism, and so I fought with him often about that, and I generally lost those fights because he was the king of that kingdom. But now, I mean, I think that I don't know how it would ever have worked for me to try to ask tough questions of the president, because, you know, when you know that he's watching and tweeting about you and loves your program and is getting his ideas from that, I just find that symbiotic relationship to be kind of dizzying. And I don't know how they can stay objective and still ask him, you know, really tough questions.
Well, the question is, are they staying objective?
Right. I mean, that therein lies the rub. It's a really complicated relationship, and that would have been really challenging for me, because even then I was trying to be fact-based and trying to ask good but tough, fair questions. And even then it was already a challenge because Roger Ailes didn't always want me to do that. So I can only imagine what it's like now.
One of the things that I've noticed, and I know we have to go, but one of the things that I've noticed is there seems to be an increase of CNN, your show and other shows on the network, that are covering what Fox is covering in the sense of what Fox has said and what has done, almost as if because of their role as an agenda leader, if you will, that you're playing clips from those shows as almost an antidote to what you're talking about. Is that real or imagined to me?
No, I think it's real. I mean, I think that it's real. We sometimes will play something from Fox and Friends, a clip from Fox and Friends, because what will happen is a tweet follows immediately following that segment.
It gives it a context.
It's about yes, I mean, it's about something that they just covered. And sometimes it will be fact-free. You know, it will be one of their pundits, pundits on, and the president is now basing policy on that. So we feel it is incumbent upon us to show the viewers the connection between, you know, what the president's policy you know, decisions are based on a segment that he just saw on Fox and Friends. So we are drawing that parallel more often than ever before.
Journalism now fact-free. The name of the book is Amanda Wakes Up. Allison Camerata, I enjoy your work so much and am a great fan, and the novel is just delightful. I thank you very much for spending time with us.
My pleasure. Always great to talk to you, Joe.
Thank you very much. Allison Camerata's novel is out in paperback. It is entitled Amanda Wakes Up, and it is published by Penguin. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.